Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
It is Mayor Thursday on the Andy Griffin Show here on a beautiful morning, 27 degrees though, so a tad bit nippy, about 5 degrees below normal for this time of year for us. And Chris Daly, Mayor of Washington City, is here. Mayor, are you cold?
Yeah, well, I want some rain or snow. I mean, with this cold weather, let's get some benefit from it.
He's showing his Swiss heritage. Yes. Right there. Yeah, a little snow there, but I don't think we're gonna get any snow.
No,
moisture is forecasted for Saturday, but probably just be rain because it'll be middle of the day, 50 degrees stuff. So
we'll take what we can get.
You and I were just talking about the Crimson Cliffs Mustangs and their state championship. I know you got to host them for city council last night. How did that go?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, Coach Wayne and he invited the seniors and their families, and it was just it's a pretty special group, and it's fun to have a high school in our city boundary now. And to celebrate, you know, that success. And you know, it was interesting. We had them in front of the council. We had. For probably close to 30 minutes, but we even went back to just kind of the humble beginnings of Crimson football, mm-hmm. when they were taking, you know, beatings and maybe only won a handful of games, and then just kind of gradually built up into, you know, 3 years ago, lost in the state championship, and then the last 2 years, you know, winning state. And this year, nobody really expected them to do it.
They had something like 40 seniors last year. And so coming back this year, you're like, well, it'll be a rebuilding year. They didn't rebuild. They reloaded.
Well, you're exactly right. And what Coach Wayne said last night is of those 40 seniors, 19 were starters.
Wow.
And so to be able to just kind of fill those holes and with 9 seniors. And again, the expectation wasn't there, but I think they kind of believed. And I mean, it's just a really there's a great culture. I mean, he's such a high character guy.
He
teaches them so many things about, you know, life skills. And
did he talk about the Crimson Captain thing they do every week?
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know all the details, but I know they bring someone who has had some special challenges in life, and they appoint them unofficial captain for the week, and they get a different one every week, and they do it all season long, and it's an amazing thing.
Well, I asked Coach. I mean, I actually had some screenshots of late in the game. I mean,
so if people don't know, they were behind with about 5 or 6 minutes left by 3 touchdowns. It was 42-21. The game was over, right?
Yeah, I mean, for anybody who watches football, you're like, okay, I'm turning this off. You know?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I did exactly that. I'm like, I'm not going to watch the rest. They lost. Yeah.
So I asked Coach. I pulled that up on the screens in the council chamber, and I said, Coach, what were you thinking at this point? I mean, had you lost hope? And he said, I got to be honest, Mayor. I said, I was about there. He said, but I looked at my players, and they hadn't. Mm. And I said, what did you attribute that to? And he gave this great answer. But sifting through that, he circled back to just what you talked about with the, what do they call it again, the captain?
Crimson captain.
The Crimson captains. And he said, look, this was our adversity. And he said, look, I'm not going to compare adversity on a football field to real-life adversity. He said, but I'm, you know, the experience that they had interacting with those Crimson captains each week, I think gave them kind of that mental fortitude to realize that, yeah, you're going to have adversity. How do you respond? And I couldn't have been more impressed with Coach Wayne and each of those 9, I believe 9 seniors were there. And each of them came up and, you know, introduced themselves and we asked them a few questions. It was just pretty special to see how, you know, and it's just a sport, but there are a lot of life lessons that can come through sport. And I haven't seen a better game than that, and maybe ever in high school football.
I remember, so this goes back to when I was a kid. I remember going to a game, and the team that I was rooting for, the local high school team, was down by 11 at halftime. And and in my mind, okay, they came back and won that game. That must have been, that to me, that was the greatest game ever. To put into words, being down 21 with 5 minutes left or so, I mean, basically there had to be a perfect storm for them to come back. Spanish Four, you know, lost a fumble. There was a whole punt return situation. I mean, it had to be perfect.
Well, and they had some great athletes. I mean, they got a guy that I think is 6'9", 310, committed to USC. Yeah. And he was in the second half playing on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
And then you remember the play where they had tried three onside kicks. They didn't get the first two. The third one looked like it clearly went the 10 yards and was recovered. And then they didn't give it. So you're thinking, oh, the perfect storm, we're not going to be able to. Yeah. And then I think the first time in the game, they force a three and out, get the ball back, give themselves a chance.
Yeah, and they were able to stop a running back who is third all-time in the history of the state in running from getting a first down. There was a weird play where they decided to go wildcat and sent the quarterback in motion, and the ball hit him in the leg as he's running by. That was snapped from the center. I mean, yeah, just some really weird stuff had to happen, but it did.
And then maybe, Andy, for those that don't know how it ended, I mean, do you want to talk to about, like, three overtimes?
Yeah. Triple overtime. In the rules in football now, for those that don't follow football much, is after the second overtime, there's no more touchdowns, no more 25-yard line. You have to just go, it's two-point conversion over and over and over again until they don't match each other, and that's what happened. Crimson got a stop, and then McCord Christiansen took it in, and that was it.
Yeah, game set, match.
Yeah, amazing. And by the way, I'll reiterate this too. I learned, like, the first week I moved here that Pineview is not in Washington City boundaries. I think a lot of people were like, well, what do you mean? You have two schools in Washington. No, actually Pineview is technically in St. George City. So in newspaper writing, they have something called the dateline. You're supposed to write where the event took place.
Yes.
And when I first started with the Spectrum, this is back in the 90s, I'd go cover a game at Pineview, and I'd write Washington City, and my editor right away was like, dude, they're not in Washington City. Okay, got it. So even though most of the students at Pineview do live in Washington, and actually, kind of ironically, perhaps, most of the students at Crimson actually live in St. George, right? A lot of them anyway?
Oh, yeah, it's a good mix. I think about half of Washington goes to Pineview and half to Crimson. Hmm. And certainly we love and claim Pineview. I'm a Pineview guy.
Yeah.
But as a mayor, Crimson is actually in our municipal boundary.
Right.
And so I'm just happy when they say that Crimson Cliff's in Washington and don't just blanket it all as St. George, you know. So yeah. So I was happy to hear a lot of those broadcasters.
People, the retail, Walmart is in Washington, correct?
Walmart's in Washington,
Costco,
yes.
Costco is not?
Costco is just barely into St. George boundary.
Albertsons
is in Washington, so it kind of jogs down there. I jokingly say, you know, St. George got the Costco and, you know, the $1 million of tax revenue each year. But fortunately, as Washington, we got the struggling intersection at Greenspring and Telegraph.
Yeah,
I mean, we each get our.
Well, you know, and that actually brings to mind the new exit on ramp, off ramp at Main Street. We thought it was going to be exit 11. It's exit 12, apparently. But how do you feel that's going? I mean, it's open now.
Yeah. You know, again, and I've said this before, we're carrying baggage that we didn't load.
Right.
And so these were decisions that predated, you know, this elected body and administration. But I think to a certain extent, you know, with staff and with planning, coordination with UDOT, we've tried to mitigate to the extent you possibly can a freeway interchange going onto a city's main street. But it actually turned out fairly nice. I mean, we were able to kind of dress up the landscaping and some of the underpass elements. It seems to be getting used more, which should take off some of that pressure off of the Greenspring and Telegraph intersection.
Mm-hmm.
I know this morning I drove it. I went up Main and took a left onto the freeway and came this way. And so, you know, we plan for it. It's going to drop some more traffic on, but it turned out okay. And, you know, cities do this as they grow. And again, we're not chasing the growth, but as we become discovered, you know, you just kind of put those puzzle pieces together. And so the Main Street interchange is another piece of that puzzle. Now, incidentally, we are going to, you know, we opened it before Black Friday because it was, there are a few little minor punch list items to finish, but nothing safety related. So UDOT coordinated with us to open the interchange, but we'll have the official ribbon cutting next Tuesday,
okay,
the 17th at 11 a.m., just right there by the underpass.
Photo op, right?
Yeah, and just a chance to, you know, thank the contractors and the, you know, the engineers. And there's a lot of people that work and do their best to make that project, project of that scale, you know, come about. So we want to recognize them and thank them.
The other day when I had to go to Salt Lake for this funeral, and we actually got on northbound off of Main Street. And for those that don't know, there's like a kind of a driveway, little mini road that goes back behind to some apartments right before the on-ramp. And I'm not going to lie, when I was coming up there, I almost turned into the apartment driveway instead of getting on the freeway. And so I was like, okay, wait, no, wait, this is the one. Okay.
Yeah, it takes a driver too. That's totally normal.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it'll be a good thing. Do you feel like you need to... are you going to put extra patrols in on? Have you put extra patrols in on Main Street? Do you feel like you need to make sure that people don't come off the freeway going 85 and then hop on Main Street and think they can go really fast?
Yeah. So that's a lot of that extra patrol is driven by just kind of citizen feedback, and I don't think we've had any citizen feedback on that so far. It seems to be designed to where people can stop and make that turn. You know, originally we were going to have a roundabout there, but this design and build was kind of caught up in that massive inflation over COVID, and so it ended up not being a roundabout. And in hindsight, I'm actually kind of glad we didn't get a roundabout there.
I agree.
But another thing that I like about this is, in some ways, Washington is a bit of a dissected or bifurcated city. So you have I-15 that you know, kind of cuts the city in half. This underpass now connects both sides of the freeway, and the way that it's designed, it just kind of naturally comes back, ties into Washington Parkway, and then into the new Solente, Brio, and Green Springs subdivision. So I think there's going to be some convenience for them, and certainly there's going to be some other, you know, shopping and entertainment amenities that will naturally come that will add some value to the community too.
Now, Winco is, we think, what, at least a year away before?
Yeah, I anticipate Winco has all of their entitlements, so I anticipate them, you know, starting construction sometime early in 2025. And I would anticipate, like you said, Andy, about a year build out or so. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some of that underground work and then, you know, walls going vertical, you know, within the next, you know, 2 or 3 months.
I'm not going to lie, I love Winco. Not every time because we didn't this week, but almost every time I go up north, I stop at a Winco. To me, their prices are great, and they offer some unique things that nobody else has.
Yeah. So. Employee owned, cash only. Some of those just common sense things that, you know. You know, save a penny, and penny saved is a penny earned, right? Benjamin Franklin.
I guarantee, Chris, we're going to hear from people when it opens saying, "Why won't they take credit card? This isn't fair. That's all I have." We're trying to warn people now. They do not take credit card. That's one of the ways they save on prices and everything. And so if you go in there with your Visa card and it's not a debit, you're not going to get a purchase. So
they probably don't take crypto or Venmo either.
No. Although I will say this, we go, because I don't have a debit card. We only use credit. And I go with my son to the Winco up in Orem, and I Venmo him money. He buys it, and I Venmo him money. So they kind of take Venmo.
Third-party Venmo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. So
we're talking with Chris Staley, mayor of Washington City right now. And, of course, Exit 12 is open. That's a Main Street exit. I would agree with you in that, you know, I haven't seen a lot of cars speeding, because I go that way a lot. My wife, of course, works for the city. I haven't seen a lot of cars speeding down Main Street yet. I don't think it's a problem, at least not yet.
Well, and as a reminder, the city did a great job in the design of Main Street. So it's instead of, you know, kind of coming to a point and then lowering on either side of the street, it's a little bit concave. Mm-hmm. And so we have those storm drain catches in the middle of Main Street,
which were desperately needed.
And so for years we dealt with the flooding, and so that really helps mitigate the flooding. And then also it's traffic calmed with some of the landscaping, and then just kind of the way that the sides of the roads kind of have those pop outs and in, so, and kind of narrower lanes. So so a well-designed street can calm and slow traffic. And I think that was one thing that the city particularly did, and the public works guys did to calm that traffic coming off and down to our Main Street. But maybe it'll activate our main downtown a little bit too.
Main Street, by the way, if you haven't driven down it, it's a divided road now, and it has you talk about drains, rock, I don't know, some kind of white rock in the middle.
Yeah.
And I remember when they first did that, people were like, oh, people are going to fall in there. Cars are going to drive in there, and they're going to hit those rocks. But I'm happy to say, as far as I know, nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever gone into the middle of Main Street and hit those rocks. So.
Well, and it's interesting. I've been to some of these conferences, and sometimes we'll break out into nerdy, streets and roads and things like that. And I remember listening to a presenter talk about safe streets. And, of course you talk about, bicycle lanes and those types of things too. But it's a little bit counterintuitive, because often the safer street is the narrower street, when you would just kind of at first glance think that the wider street is safer. Because if you're on a wide street, you're not paying as much attention. You maybe get a little more heavy on the gas pedal. But when you're driving on a little bit of a narrow street and have a little more to pay attention to, you're just that more cautious. And so it turns out to be safer in some regards. And I think that's what's happening on our main.
I think you might be right, Mayor. Pretty smart. Pretty intuitive of you, Mayor.
I don't know. I'm just secondhand knowledge.
Washington City has, what are we estimating now, 33,000?
Yeah, we're probably a little more than that. Okay. We're probably over 35, We have a large portion of secondary homes, especially in the Siena Hills and Coral Canyon areas.
Right.
We've got to have service for power and water and, all those things ready to go, whether it's a primary or a secondary residence. But, I think I've said this before, but I graduated Pineview High School in 1993. And we were somewhere around 4,000 residents, give or take.
Yeah.
But you fast forward the following three decades. So if you go back the past three decades, we've about doubled in size each of those past three decades. So we've certainly been on an exponential growth. And the majority of that, let's face it, has been just because we have great neighborhoods. I mean, people love living and building in the various, and it's a variety of different types of homes and neighborhoods, but we've seen growth in the fields and other areas, but people, I think, really appreciate Washington just because of that kind of that hometown feel and the good neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And historically we've kind of gone into St. George to do a lot of our shopping, but that's also changing. And but I think cities, like people, they kind of evolve and change over time, and certainly we would rather be growing and evolving rather than just kind of stagnant and dying. So
right. Well, and that's part of your job as the mayor, is to, as it evolves, you try to hopefully retain what it was. While it's becoming something new, if you can retain some of what it was.
Oh, there's no doubt. And you want to hold on to that heritage. I mean, that's why we emphasize the things like Dixie. We're not afraid to say Dixie in Washington. I mean, we love it. Yeah. I mean, we still have one of our taglines is where Dixie began. And we talk about kind of those proud roots with, recreation and the way that we honor veterans and some of those patriotic hometown events, and those things are all just part of the DNA or the fabric of Washington City. And now we're adding some great new residents and some other new amenities, but we're not gonna, at least on my watch, I'm trying to not let us lose touch with who we are and kind of past generations and things like that.
Somebody asked, do you have an update on Exit 13? What is going in there retail-wise in Exit 13?
Yeah. So it's, you can see the Hyundai building has gone vertical. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if they're actually open yet or not, but the building is done.
And that's Finlay, right? They're moving?
Yes, the Finlay Hyundai. Yeah. And so that is part of what we refer to as the Siena Hills Auto Mall. And so they're taking one of, I believe, eight lots there. So we think that this Findlay Hyundai will, the first one is kind of the toughest, but we anticipate that other brands, other dealers, will follow suit. Also kind of on that west side, that southwest side of Washington Parkway, next to the Best Western Plus, I believe it's a Hyatt House that's been approved and entitled. It could be a Hyatt Place, but it's one of a nice Hyatt brand hotel. I believe there's an office building slated for there. There's an Arby's. There's a few others, but the main things are going to be on that southwest corner are going to be the additional dealerships and auto dealers. So that'll be nice on the southeast side.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Seven Brothers, and you know I don't fact check me, but from what I've just kind of heard secondhand is that that Seven Brothers is doing extremely well there. That they're blowing out the numbers.
If you believe the reviews online, all the people saying I ate here and it was the best. Definitely doing well.
So I'm hearing that it's doing well too. You know, there's the Chipotle there. There's a few other retail things in the mix, and then we're also we're looking. You know, the Costco's going into St. George. That's not a secret. So we had kind of lobbied for Costco to be there, and rightfully so. I mean, that would benefit our budget greatly. But we're kind of lobbying for an alternative. And again, Andy, I couldn't tell you the Winco for a long time, but we are working with directly with ownership with another national brand that would be new to not only new to the area but new to Utah, which would be great.
And unfortunately, it's not a Trader Joe's yet. Maybe someday.
Not there.
I did actually do a story on our website last year about Trader Joe's, and you know they have some weird and funny requirements, and certain got to have a certain number of people within a certain radius and everything, and we didn't meet those requirements yet. But I actually wrote them a letter. I said, you don't understand this area. We're a heavy tourism area, and we may not have that many population-wise at one time, but on any given weekend with soccer tournaments these other, we have a lot of people in this town, and a lot of them want to go to the store and buy some food.
Yeah.
So.
There's no doubt. And when we say this town in that context, we mean this whole area. I think a Trader Joe's will come. Whether it's in my municipal boundary or Mayor Randall's boundary, it would just be a great benefit to the entire community. And I know my wife will shop there too.
Especially as dark chocolate lovers, they have the best selection of dark chocolate stuff.
They've got these little niche things that they just—it's like a drug. They just they get their claws in you. And
what are they putting in those things, man?
And sometimes it's even kind of healthy, or at least, not as...
I did a story the other day, dark chocolate, as they said, it's pretty healthy. As long as you don't overindulge, dark chocolate's really good for you. So we're going to take a break. Mayor Chris Daley today, Washington City, on the program. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back, Mayor. Thursday, Mayor Chris Daley in the house today. Hi, Mayor. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Got the vest jacket on. Looking sharp.
It's cold outside.
No tie, though, today. He's dressed down. I got a sweatshirt on, so it's all right. I thought it'd be appropriate to talk a little bit about what's going on right downtown. You got the old church that has been there for, I don't know, probably since before you were born, right?
Yeah. And it's a patchwork quilt of churches. I mean, we had the old, like, 1800s church, and then we added on to it in the 60s. Yeah. And then that was torn down, and it was added on to again in, I think, the 70s or 80s. My Uncle George could tell you the exact dates. I'm just kind of guessing. So it's kind of been a patchwork of churches, but it's kind of the Main Street Church, which, I went to as a kid, and a lot of the old-timers have been to for years.
So, well, explain geographically. So we've got the old museum school right there on the corner. What is that? Main and Telegraph.
Yes.
Across the street is the old Nyson grocery store.
Yes.
Which is owned by that property is owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yes.
Right? And then, but behind the old school gym and everything is that church we're talking about.
That's right. Right.
Okay. So what's happening there?
So the church approached the city about a year and a half or so ago, and we started collaborating on the church selling that meeting house to the city.
Okay.
And so that is slated to close at the end of February.
So it is happening.
So that is happening.
The city is buying the church.
Yes.
But there are some stipulations, right?
So what we intend to maintain that building.
Okay.
And repurpose it. Now,
so you're not going to knock it down?
We're not going to tear the building down, no. But it's not, obviously, once we close on it, the first thing that will happen is that meeting house will and chapel will be decommissioned as a church.
Right.
And it's likely that we'll just kind of let, especially the chapel portion of the meeting house, just kind of rest for a while. We have no specific plans for it other than our goal is to maintain that as a community building and repurpose that for civic and community uses, because it just has so much significance to so many of us in that community that I appreciate you bringing that up, that we are not going to tear that building down. While it won't be used as a church going forward,
mm-hmm.
It still has significance, and it will still be part of the community, just not for worship services.
So what will it become? What can you do with it?
So certainly, in a city of our size and a growing city, we are already kind of busting at the seams at our city hall. Mm-hmm. And we even have the annex building where our IT guys and our HR staff are. So certainly I could see a portion of that being some offices for the city. But there's just some great space in there with, that gym area and the stage area. So I could see those being used for, community events and community gatherings and things like that. And then I also, you talk about that this has been a bit of a patchwork of a church over the years. I really love that 60s style sandstone, exterior and even on the interior in the chapel side. Now look, it isn't the big rugged redder sandstone that's on the museum, the schoolhouse and the gym area, but it's got a lot of character too. So, that building was getting really old. And so at some point for us to repurpose that and use it as a community building, cultural arts center, et cetera, it's going to take some efforts. And, we're not flush with cash. So over time, I could see us gradually moving some departments in there, but then kind of with community input, developing kind of a longer term plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, inserting that into the community. But I think it's tough. I think on the church's standpoint, they recognize that the building was getting really old and difficult to maintain. They struggled with parking. That's why they bought the old Nissen building for the parking lot. And so we have a shared parking agreement right now, but they just really didn't have the parking. And it's possible that with the Main Street interchange and the increased traffic on Main Street, that they recognize that that's just a risk we're not willing to take with congregants, crossing Main Street,
And who's going to walk down to the light and cross to get to the church? Nobody's going to.
Yeah, so I just think there were a number of factors, but it's really hard. I went to that building as a kid, and even over the last few months, I've kind of just walked in there and see all the neat things that happen. But I can tell you that the church will be building a new meeting house, and one that I think is better. I don't want to say better suited, but modernly suited with the parking and with.
So will that new meeting house be on the old Nissen supermarket property or no?
No,
it'll be somewhere different.
And I have a general idea of where that's going to be, but it's probably not my place to say that.
Okay. So, but then what about the old Nissen supermarket? The church owns it. Are they going to keep owning it now since they won't need the parking anymore? Are they going to sell it?
So the rest of that block is also part of that transaction. So when the city acquires the meeting house, we'll also acquire the remainder of that northwest corner of Main and Telegraph. We own a small corner where our we call it our auxiliary building, where the IT and HR are housed. In fact, for years, our police department was in there.
Right.
But so the intention there is not for the city to own that parcel long term. What we're trying to do is facilitate the private sector now to come in.
Are you going to do like an RFQ kind of thing?
We are. That's exactly what we're going to do. So we're going to the council and the committees that we work with are going to have some ideas and some suggestions, but we're going to take that back out to the private sector. And a city as vibrant and as as special as Washington is, you know, we really can't have a blighted, undeveloped downtown. So you know, we need to get that back to the private sector. But really, our role in this is facilitator. We're facilitating for the church and their future needs, facilitating with that property going into the private sector and the community's future needs. And I think that is a proper role. So we're not in the business of being a developer long term, but we do need to kind of help connect those dots for the benefit of the community. Hmm.
Text from Roy says, ask the mayor to make the old church the new post office. And I know you can't do that, but that is kind of funny.
That's clever.
Maybe we should get a post office update now while we're on the topic before we go to commercial break. Any news on the post office?
Yeah, so they're no longer sorting at our current post office, which has taken a ton of pressure off. Mm. But yes, we are working with the post office to help them find and relocate a new facility that, you know, the city grew and the post office didn't grow with us.
Right.
And so the moving the sorting over to the River Road office out of our little parking lot helped tremendously. I don't get complaints about it anymore. No, but long term, we need a post office that is suitable for the size of our community.
Yeah.
But I don't know the location yet, but it probably won't be that, but we'll help them find a place.
And the size of the community is going to be in the next 10 years.
Yeah. So, yeah. The word's got out that we have a pretty good place.
for sure. But yeah, kind of an interesting idea, Roy. I wish we could do that. Hey, we'll donate this, put the no, they won't do that.
No, post office. But I'm just teasing. I was going to make a sarcastic joke, but sometimes I forget it's just me and you, Andy. I've got to watch what
two
I say.
Of us here talking. Yeah,
just us.
No big deal, really. Talking with Chris Daly, mayor of Washington City. We actually have a couple of minutes before we need to get a commercial break in. I know you have some notes, some things you wanted to talk about. Tell us, first of all, about the canal trail.
Yeah, so we're making great progress on that. You'll remember that if you kind of go back to the history of the settling of Washington, it was a gardening, and then south of the river, it was a farming community.
Right.
A big part of that was the diversion dam and that open ditch canal that flowed all the way through down to where Crimson Cliffs High School is now, around Schnaubkeib and all the way down kind of along what we call the bench area. A lot of us remember just, you know, floating the canal in tire tubes, and it was awesome. But you know, years ago, a few decades ago, that whole large open ditch that provided for flood irrigation of alfalfa fields and so forth was piped, and now there's a, you know, kind of a 50-foot easement that goes along that canal trail. So we need to protect that because we still have that. That's critical water, especially for Warner Valley and that secondary system. But so primarily protecting that easement, protect the ability to get in there and maintain that pipe. But secondarily, we can define that by putting an asphalt trail over that and connecting that within the greater trail system in Washington and throughout the community. So
yeah.
So we are actively working with the property owners and the canal company acquiring easements to build an asphalt trail. And what that does is there's so much benefit to just that active outdoor lifestyle that we have in southern Utah. Yeah. And it also allows us to kind of connect in those areas more regional, larger parks, like the new Wills Park that will be also starting in January, and the beautiful Sullivan Soccer Park and others. So you have these hubs of parks and these spokes of trail systems that connect the parks and then connect the neighborhoods. So... and I'm really excited about it because we've been acquiring these easements, and there's dozens and dozens of easements. I mean, nearly 100, and we are making such great progress. And I'm just really thrilled with the way that the community is embracing having that historic canal trail built. So we had an update on that last night, and I'm just really excited about the progress we're making there. So we're going to build that in sections. You know, we're going to try to build it as we can connect, you know, kind of a road to a road and so forth. But there are sections built. It's already, you know, fairly designed, because for many years it was a road, you know, that went along the ditch and then over the pipe. So
we know where we're going already. That's good. Yeah. All right, let's get a break in back with Mayor Staley Moore after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
By the way, if you want to be a part of the show, give us a call, 673-5890. Thanks to those who have texted, gotten a couple of texts, so hopefully we'll get a few more. The text line is 467-5842. That's my personal cell phone. I'm holding it right here in my hand. 435-467-5842. Mayor, do you give out your cell phone to citizens? Is that public knowledge out there?
Yeah.
Nice, yeah. So they told me when I started in radio years and years ago, they said, don't give out your phone number. Even back then, I had a cell. You know, I had a cell phone in the 90s. You know, with that. Do you remember South Central Communications? Yeah,
my number is original South Central.
Yeah, that's what mine is too. I've had the same number all these years, but in radio they're like, don't give out your number. You'll get all kinds of wackos and crazies, and I don't. I mean, there's a few that are a little bit out there, but mostly just people giving me updates on stuff.
So when I'm not wearing the mayor hat, my church calling includes...
Oh, you're executive secretary.
For the stake. I've been doing that for 8 years. So, you know, my phone number is...
it's common knowledge. Everybody knows. But in fact, people know not to answer when you call. He's either going to ask me to talk or he's going to get the calling, and so they don't answer. Yeah,
it's fun. But I do use my landline for business, which has helped. I mean, I'm able to at least kind of keep those separate. And
what's the name of your business again? You used to advertise. Don't advertise anymore.
We need to get on that. Yeah. But yeah, I'm a farmer's insurance agent. Just past 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Built the largest farmers insurance agency south of Utah County, so it's a good run. We got a good staff, good stability, good company.
Are you getting a lot of flack with the car insurance being so expensive right now?
Yeah, I think people just kind of realize that this inflation, you know, no industry was exempt from that, but we're kind of settling back in a little bit, and and I think also people. I have to stop short of talking about the value of having, you know, a good company and, you know, an agent that can help.
We could do a whole segment on personal injury protection and stuff like that.
Then I would feel like I needed to pay you for this segment, so I better not do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Water quality, I think, was one of the things you wanted to bring up today too.
Well, I promised the individual that reached out last time. They said, I've heard that there was a complaint to the Division of Water Quality. And I said, I haven't heard that. Let me follow up and I'll get back to you next month. So it's now officially next month. And what I can tell you is that the complaint had nothing to do with drinking water, culinary water, not anything whatsoever. It was, we did have a storm drain audit. There was
really?
An individual
I didn't know they did that,
an individual that may have been a prior employee that reached out to the Division of Water Quality about storm drains. And so we did have a storm drain audit. But I wanted to answer that question forthrightly, because the last thing you want anybody to think is that there's any issue at all with their drinking water. And our drinking water out of the tap is 100% safe to drink, period. So I wanted to just make sure that's clear.
We were going through one of the tours when we out in Europe. I think this was in Heidelberg or somewhere, and they have a fountain with water coming out of it. And of course, you don't drink out of fountains, and you know, maybe a water fountain, but not an actual fountain. And the tour guide said, "Oh, this water is actually, we're really proud of this. Our fountain water is perfectly safe to drink." And he said, and he had some cups. He's like, "Go ahead." And we were all kind of looking at each other, us Americans, were looking at each other going, "And do you want to drink this fountain water? Because I don't want to drink this fountain water." But the guide, he's like, "Listen, I'll show you." And he got a cup and he got a drink and he drank it. I don't know if he was sick later, but he drank the water.
You know, I've drank out of just kind of natural springs up at Pine Valley. There's a few little areas. My aunt has a little place up there, and we drank out of that as a kid. It was just, we joked it was the best water, just kind of that fresh, cold, constant running water. And
well, if you remember, when we were kids, we used to drink out of hoses, too, and we didn't think much. I was like, "What's that funny taste?" "I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's wet."
Put it on your head and on your clothes and in your mouth and everything else, and get back on your BMX bike and keep going. Now, where you don't want to drink the water, though, is down in either the Washington or St. George Fields. Some of that water is so brackish. Mm. I mean, you'd be better off trying to drink water from the ocean than some of that salty, brackish water that's used in some of the areas down there.
Yeah, for sure. I had a niece who used to love going in the ocean, and then she found out that fish poop in the ocean. She's like, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm like, well, what did you think they did? I mean, they call a timeout and jump on the shore and bury it? Or no, they do. Yeah, that's the way it is. So, talking with Mayor Staley, we got about 5 minutes left on the show. Mayor, give us an update on the remodel, the reconstruction of the old, I don't know what you call it anymore, the old school, the old museum, the old, it's right there on the corner.
Yeah, so the project is coming along nicely. I mean, people joke that I stop in there every day, and I say, no, I don't stop in there every day. I usually stop in twice a day. It's really been such a passion project.
Yeah.
And I love the name Old Gym, but what a lot of us, you know, there were three old-timers. Like, in fact, the story is remarkable. There was one bank in town at the time called the Bank of St. George.
Okay.
And the old school district was going to partner on a 50-50 basis with the community. All of the community pitched in or signed promissory notes, but the Bank of St. George said, no, we won't take it. Ultimately, a gentleman by the name of Arthur Paxman, who was the mayor at the time.
And can you give us circa about what time were we talking?
This was early 1900s because it was finished in 1924, so probably around 1920.
Okay.
He convinced the bank that if three individuals with adequate assets guaranteed the note, that Bank of St. George would fund the other half on behalf of the community. So Arthur Paxman and Calvin Hall, who was the prior mayor and then was the bishop of the town. And the motive really was for the youth and for the community to have this gathering hall or this amusement hall that they called it. And they needed one more person. Okay. And they found just this old timer that was just had a big family, a big farm that really cared about the youth. So Miller and Evie Iverson were the third ones to sign on that note. And that allowed for this amazing project to be built, which for 75 years was the heart of our community.
Right.
Now we are here 100 years later, and we're inserting life and use into the building. We have called it the Old Gym. It's been called an amusement hall. It's been called a gymnasium.
Are you about to tell us it's going to get a new name?
Well, I think so, because we added this lobby, we added bathrooms, we added a kitchen area. I mean, we exposed these beautiful beams in the roof. We maintained the sandstone. I mean, it's just gorgeous. But I think what a lot of people I've just heard have been referring to as a heritage hall. Now, not to be confused with heritage halls at BYU, but it's always been a gathering hall from the beginning.
Okay.
And then Calvin Hall was one of those. So,
right.
So we're kicking around the idea of rather than call it the Old Gym, which we all can still refer to it as Old Gym, but
sure.
I wonder if subtly some of the residents and people will start maybe referring to it as Heritage Hall. Who knows?
Heritage Hall.
But I'm not saying it's getting a new name, but I'm saying that's something that, and maybe, you know, a rebirth maybe merits a new name. Who knows?
Heritage Hall. Throw the Iverson in there maybe a little bit too.
Well, what we did too as part of the rap, and this was a rap funded project because it's got a stage in there.
In fact, I saw somebody online complaining about the city spending money on it, and then Jordan Hess got on and said, well, this is actually rap money that's being spent on this.
And prior councils had allocated 35% of rap revenue for a cultural arts facility. So we're kind of following marching orders. But part of that, we actually engaged Del Parson to do paintings.
That's right. I actually got, my wife had them on her phone yesterday, and I actually got to see some of those.
And they're gorgeous.
They're amazing.
They're all three, Arthur Paxman, Calvin Hall, Miller Iverson, they're sitting in my office under, you know, locked door.
Yeah.
Only to be unveiled after we open.
I got a sneak preview.
The new space.
And by the way, they used a certain mayor as a model for some of them.
Well, what was cool is we actually, the Calvin Hall has one of our local youth. And if you look in the background of that, you can see the original old church, which was in proximity to that. And he was such a, Calvin Hall was such a youth guy. And then of course, Arthur Paxman was in State House of Representatives. And so he's there with a flag next to him. But my favorite has got to be Miller Iverson. You know, hands on a plow in an onion patch.
That's right.
With, you know, just kind of a handlebar mustache looking down. And to me, that just epitomizes Washington. But I think really, in a sense, all three of those individuals epitomized the way a community came together. And And hopefully we keep it staying together.
We're gonna unveil these paintings when the Heritage Hall reopens.
Yeah, and I've kicked around the idea of reaching out maybe to some of the Paxmans and Halls and Iversons to maybe kind of give them a sneak peek a little bit, maybe a gathering before the open house for the community. But they're going to love it, and those are going to be a great addition. It's going to be just really nice. And so hopefully by, you know, February, we'll have my State of the City in there, and I'm not going to speak much. I'm just going to let people look and admire the craftsmanship of restoring the old building.
February, Heritage Hall, Mayor Saley, State of the City. Sounds kind of fun. No pressure, but they got to kind of got to get that thing done.
We'll get there. Don't make me stop by three times a day.
30 seconds left, Mayor. Anything else? Are you good?
Dogtown Half, last Saturday in January. Text Andy if you want a code. I'll give out five free entries.
Yeah, text me, 467-5842. If you're a runner and want a free entry, the Dogtown Half. Thanks, Mayor, for coming today. Good to talk to you.
You bet. Thank you.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.